This is the Adam Gold Show.
Brendan Whitted, League Pass Lair, at HU Cosell on Twitter, works for Howard University.
Yep, BisonExpress.org. You can go catch my written work and go to Bison Express YouTube page and catch all my interviews.
I retweet the interviews whenever I see them.
Let's
start with last night. I know you're a Tar Heel fan.
Yeah.
It looked pretty good. I don't think Michigan's great, but yeah. I don't think it matters. Right, I think Michigan is capable for sure, and that game was not a blowout. I thought Carolina got better as the game wore on, and then just kind of leaned on them a little bit. It does look like Carolina's formula has to be exactly what it was last year. Baycott touches all the time, and R.J. Davis and Caleb Love do the backcourt lifting.
It was really there. It was Love and Davis and their maturation last year. Where I thought this team is now taking another step. The guard play was so erratic. It would be Love sometimes, then be Davis sometimes, then be Love. And I think that them having a more distilled set of skills, like Davis is your, if you're kind of old school, traditional point guard, he's going to set people up. He's going to get people in the right space. He runs a pick and roll about as well as I've seen at Carolina in particular. Because they just use it so much more. Mm-hmm. The offense is just more updated with under Hubert Davis than
it was Roy NBA Williams. Style offense,
which should help them in recruiting moving forward too. And Love is your wild card, who you have no idea what you're going to get. Like he plays hard. Like I do appreciate that. I appreciate the fact that even when he is not shooting well, because he takes a ton of tough shots. Like some guys just have that in their DNA where there's like, I need to dribble, pull up.
Yeah,
it is. Well, I got to pull up for verse two from 30 feet away. And it's like, all right, because we've seen him make those, right? Yeah. So you have to, and I appreciate Davis giving him a little bit more leeway, giving him that green light. I don't know if other coaches would have done that. You know what I mean? I haven't really seen that player get this sort of burn, get this sort of love from the coach. And then their maturation, like, Love, you're just going to go out. You're going to be the wild card. You know what you have in Baycott. And now we've replaced Manic with Nance, essentially. Yeah. Which, like, Manic was great. Like, he was great for that team. He gave them a different feel for their bigs. Like, yeah, we would have two bigs out there, but it would be a big with real shooting distance. And you would now Baycott has more room to work inside. Baycott's season, I wanted to keep an eye on because it started out like he was taking more long jumpers. And he was doing the thing of, hey, I've talked to a lot of NBA scouts. Right. I've talked to a lot of people. I need to work on this. I need to show that I worked on it. He's taking some of that away. He stopped doing as much of it where you're like, hey, Baycott, this isn't you. Like, this is just not his game. He doesn't have that sort of touch. He actually reminds me a lot of Hansborough. Hansborough has better touch.
He became a decent three-point
shooter. He became Baycott has that kind of manic energy where it's just like, man, offensive rebound, which is a skill. I do think that's a skill or a talent. You just have this kind of Wolverine style, I'm going to get to the basket. Does not matter who's around now, how he's going to finish once he gets offensive rebound. And that's anybody's guess. But guys that can give you extra possessions is so crucial, particularly when your team takes as many threes as UNC can sometimes. It's like, man, we're getting another bite of the apple, and we have these sort of shooters. Again, I think you hit the nail on the head. This is essentially the same team as last year.
It has to be.
Because there's not really a bench. There really hasn't been that maturation. And if there's one thing that I've been disappointed – two things. There really hasn't been that step up by some of the guys we saw on the team last year.
Mm-hmm.
And then – some of these turnovers and free throw stuff, like that's
bad at the free throw line last night.
Yeah, like you got to be better than that if you're like an older team. This is an older team especially for college, right? Like you don't usually get a team that went all the way, you know, that's been together essentially for 3 years. The
junior,
core,
junior, senior, are the three best players, right?
Like, and you don't usually get that, and they've got that, and yet sometimes late in games it can get a little dicey. That happened in the Indiana game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like it's just like, hey, man. You don't really need to try this pocket pass between three people and at a high leverage situation of the game. They still do some of that stuff, but I'm hoping that by the time we get around to January to February, that this will be that same team that we saw kind of going into the tournament last year.
The funny thing about it, and they were preseason number one, and I get it. You know, you were in the national championship game, and you bring back 80% of your starters,
right?
And you bring in a guy who athletically is better than the guy you lost in mm-hmm. Nance versus Manek. So I understood why they were preseason number one. But I said this, I don't believe for a minute that they were the best team in the country, because for about 4 months, we weren't even sure if they were good enough to make the tournament.
Yep.
And then, end of February, they went into the Duke game. They win that, which was great. By the way, have you heard Paulo Banchero talk about that?
No. I heard he said something, but I haven't actually heard the quote.
We're going to play it here in a minute. That is fantastic. It is a fantastic clip coming from the Old Man and the Three, J.J. Redick
podcast.
One of
my favorite basketball podcasts that I catch on a regular. J.J., he's amazing at it.
I forget his partner's name, but yeah, it's a great podcast. So we'll bring you that in a second. So they closed the season out, they were good, then got hot, and Manek hit every big three he looked at. And he also stepped up his defensive game. Mm-hmm. The underrated part of Manek was the moments he had defensively last year.
Yeah.
He defended Paulo Banchero in that game at Duke and did it well.
Because
remember
in their first game, he got Baycott. They tried to put Baycott on him, and it was
destroyed.
Ate his lunch. He was just too quick.
They had to go to Leaky Black.
Yeah.
But when they went to Leaky Black, it left other guys vulnerable. Right. So they had to say, you know what, Brady, you do the best you can.
Yeah.
Steve Logan, our old friend, used to say, get run over slowly to an offensive lineman, right,
good.
Who wasn't very good. Just get run over slowly. That's basically what they told Manek. Do the best you can.
Yeah.
We need Leaky to guard other players. And that helped Carolina's defense. And Manek did a pretty good job on Banchero. So they got hot. So what's more true, the first 4 months or the last month and a half? And even if we say it's somewhere towards the middle, but even lean towards the good. All right, well, that means that Carolina, this is what I thought, top 15 team. And if they get hot at the end, they can absolutely make a Final Four.
Yeah.
Because Davis is a good point guard.
Yes.
I mean, a very good college point guard. Caleb Love has a lot of upside. He can hit big shots. And he's a good driver. When he drives, because he's powerful, I think Carolina's offense is better. And Baycott is a dynamite interior player.
Love looks athletically different than he did in his first year.
Quicker.
It was stronger, but like there would be times where he would leave his feet, and he didn't believe he was going to get to the rim. And it would be like, man, what's happening? And I don't know if it's a confidence thing. I think obviously physically he matured, but he just looks like a different player.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I've ever seen a jump like that from anybody where I'm like, hey, how did you get this high high school, all this notoriety? How did you get this starting job? Like, I was very much questioning, like, what did they see? Because I'm not seeing it.
Right.
And then by last year, it was like, oh, okay. This is the guy I heard about. Okay, fantastic.
Right. And for me, like, there are games where I don't like him.
Oh, well, sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And there are games where I go, oh, man, that's the Caleb Love that we need to see. We see that, again, I think we see that in big moments.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if Love is 0-for-8.
Nope.
If the ninth one goes in, guard him when the ball is inbounded. Speaking of which, can I ask a question about the Ohio State game?
I believe you can. Yeah.
Okay. If you're Chris Holtmann, not once, but twice, you refuse to guard the inbound pass. I don't understand it. 2 seconds to go. Just make the inbound pass harder. Especially when you're going to play as passively defensively as they did. They allowed the catch. They didn't even bother R.J. Davis on the catch.
Yeah.
I couldn't figure that out.
That's. I think I have a bigger issue of not being at point of attack where this thing is coming in, not being more aggressive.
Put a tall guy.
You know the shot has to go up, right? Like, you know the shot has to go up.
You're talking about Nance.
Oh, yeah, I'm talking about Nance.
I'm talking about the initial inbound pass, which got them the half court.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait a second.
Yeah.
Put somebody in front of Leaky Black. Make the pass difficult.
It's a philosophical thing.
He didn't watch the highlights of Kentucky Duke, did he?
I've noticed it with coaches, though. There is one or two. It's kind of like fouling up three in basketball. Some coaches are going to do it regardless of the situation, regardless how well their opposition has shot. And then other coaches are just, nope, we're not doing it at all. I think it's just one of those things where they think, hey, my way is better. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, and there's nothing really as a fan, you could say it's kind of the same reason that, you know, even Popovich wasn't immune from this, because he takes out Tim Duncan in the game six, and now Chris Bosh gets the offense. Well, why didn't you have your best rebounder out there? It's like, I made the decision that we were better and could switch better without Duncan out there. I mean, right? Like, I mean,
taking Tim Duncan out of a game is a decision that was made. I don't even remember. I'm glad I don't remember that. Now I think Popovich is a terrible coach. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. When we do, you're going to hear what Paolo Banchero said about going into the final game, home game, for Duke last year against Carolina on the ultimate senior night when Coach K was coaching his last game at Cameron Indoor Stadium. That coming up with Brendan Whitted next.
As a parent, no 2 days are ever the same. And let's face it, sometimes a little extra help goes a really long way. That's what's so great about Care.com. They make it easier than ever to find local, experienced, and background-checked childcare to help manage your family's ever-changing needs and schedule. From nannies and babysitters to daycare centers and tutors, find help for long or short-term support. Whether you need an after-school sitter or help with the homework, there's a large selection to choose from. And all caregivers who use Care.com are required to complete a background check before they're able to interact with families on the platform. It's so easy. Just go to Care.com and post a job for caregivers to apply. You can search for qualified candidates, read reviews and ratings, check their availability, and send messages directly. You can even find other kinds of care, including housekeepers, dog walkers, and caregivers for seniors. Find care for all you love. Sign up now and see why over 3 million families use Care.com. Visit Care.com today.
We're going to talk about Deion Sanders a little bit more here in a couple of minutes, but I want you to hear Paolo Banchero, former Duke star. He was a star at Duke, now with the Orlando Magic, the first overall pick in the draft, and I know you've seen him.
Oh, Orlando was one of those sneaky fun teams to watch.
He is going to be a headache. By the way, Markel Fultz is not awful.
No, he's not.
He's occasionally actually really good.
He needed the change of scenery. I think he was physically hurt. I still don't quite understand what it was.
His game was broken too.
His game was, and like once your game breaks, you got like, but kudos to him for being able to get back and be serviceable, and helpful in a way where it looks like you can still have a career. Because I was very concerned at one point. I was like, hey. Hey, is this
100%?
Has this worked out as badly as it can? Also, shout out to Bobo, nasty.
One of my son's favorite players.
Nice.
He absolutely loves.
Your son has great taste.
Oh, he loves the league. All right, and the segment that comes up at the end of this hour is his creation.
Fantastic.
So, Paolo Banchero, Duke last year, the entire season was Coach K's last ride.
Right.
So he appeared on JJ Redick's Old Man and the Three podcast. And they talked about the lead up to the final game. Here's that clip.
I've never felt to this day a game like that last game at home. Like that was crazy. Like just being on the court and like just the amount of pressure and like expectation we had, like we didn't even really practice or like game plan that week. Like it was just so much going on. Around coaching, you know, people coming in, reporters, like a bunch of media, like the most media, you know, we had all year was during that week. And,
96 former players. At the game.
Like
trotting out on the court before the game.
Yeah. It's already been twisted that Duke didn't practice that week. Obviously they practiced that week, but I could see all the stuff getting in the way of game planning.
Sure.
And they sort of played like it in the second half. And there's another part of that. Do we have the part where Banchero talked about when Carolina had cut into the lead? All right, let's play this because I think this is really telling.
And it kind of threw us off a little bit. And I mean, and then once they started coming back, we got a lead early. But like once they started to come back and gain momentum, it was like that's when the pressure just, you know, grew to its largest, because we knew if we didn't come back or if we didn't respond, like just the weight of the whole world was on us. And, when we didn't, I mean, it was like, it was tough, man, because we knew the season wasn't over. Obviously we had bigger goals, but like that was a game like you can't lose. And so that was kind of our mentality. I feel like we were trying not to lose more than we were trying to win.
Isn't that amazing?
To have an NBA player say, and I know, I understand he's a rookie, he's only halfway through and Orlando's not good this year, but like for have an NBA player say, I've never felt anything like that. Because again, as he mentions, that's not the last game of the season.
Right.
That came later.
It did. It absolutely did.
It absolutely
that
did.
That was a great basketball game.
That was a great
too.
Game. But like to have him say that lets you know that, I mean, because he was, to me, he was the clear-cut number one pick. Mm-hmm. Like, I understand Chet, and I get it.
Yeah.
Jabari, 100%. It was always him.
Yep.
And so to have the best player in college say, hey, man, this pressure was stifling. Because that team was loaded with talent.
Mm-hmm.
Not that UNC was some small bereft team of talent, but, like, I mean, you ain't got – to me, those weren't equal. Duke was clearly more talented team. And so for them just to be so far into their head,
mm-hmm.
I have a question based off of this quote now. And I've been thinking about this. Does that mean that the way Roy Williams did this was better than the way Coach K did it?
Yeah, probably. Right?
Because I wonder if having the last dance as having something that is, hey, everybody knows I'm a legend.
Right.
I'm about to be out here.
It all depends on, like, there are two topics of discussion there. The first is, did Coach K do that because he wanted the adulation? And I personally believe that that's not the case.
Okay.
Right, I wanted to see the eye roll there. That was a great eye roll. I don't believe he wanted that.
Okay.
I think because I believe that in order for this to work out the way Coach K wanted it, if anything, it was the orchestration of it that forced that to happen. He always wanted John to be the guy.
Absolutely.
Right, and I love John. John was on earlier. He's a He is a great guy. I hope it works out well. I mean, I think it will. I think he's too smart a basketball person for it to not work out. The recruiting, I think he's got pretty much down. That is not going to be a problem for Duke. I think he wanted John to take over, and he wanted, like, the new players were going to know that.
Right.
And he wanted to coach the players that they had just brought in. So it had to be that way. So it was inevitable that that was going to be the thing. I think Roy would have continued to coach as long as he wanted to. And I think Roy realized, you know what, I just don't want to anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So it just hit him. And different than when Dean did. You know,
right.
I thought Dean was strategically helping out his friend Bill Guthridge.
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
Because I don't think Guthridge gets that job otherwise.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah.
And what we know about state employees, it was really good for Bill Guthridge's retirement.
Right.
Which is, I am on board with
right.
that.
Right, yeah, completely understand.
Maybe want to work for the state. I ain't going to lie. Maybe want to work for the state. My father-in-law worked for the city of Durham.
Yeah.
Polite golf clap.
Shout out to my dad. Worked Department of Public Instruction.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's real life.
So worked at the water plant, my father-in-law. So it's just different, but I do agree that in terms of for the basketball, the way Roy did it was better.
Yeah.
And I just don't think it was intentional. It's just this is the way it was going to end up because everybody would have known. Like, there's nobody's keeping that secret.
Right. Yeah. Right? No, I'm just thinking about it. And I was thinking about it from a basketball point of view because Coach Williams, the way he did it, one, I do think his was, if I'm being honest, I think the way Kessler left and stuff like that had a lot to do. It was a lot. He talked a lot about, like, the context of college basketball mm-hmm. change, like the landscape changing. And I think he was realizing because he was already towards it. You know, this is the winner of his career anyway. Do I really want to learn all this new stuff? Like,
he didn't want to deal with it.
He didn't want to deal with it, which, again, I completely understand. You do anything for as long. I mean, look, working at a water plant, working at DPI, you do anything for that long. Hey, maybe that's just enough. You know what I mean? You can love it, but it's okay to just leave. And I think that sparked his leaving. I'm sure he had already been thinking about it. I would disagree with the coach. K didn't want it to be about him. Now, I don't think you get to give me the last this because it won't the last game in Cameron. It was your last game in Cameron,
right?
Right. This is your last season. It's not nobody else's last season.
That's an opinion.
Your last
that's
season.
A fair opinion.
You know what I mean? Like, and again, I ain't got no problem with it. I can pop my jersey a little bit and be like, hey, look at me. I don't have no problem with that at all. But I do think that's what's going on now.
Here's what I didn't like about it. I didn't like the post game from.
And
that
that's the other part. That's why I think it, because he was
like
personally.
He took that personally.
This was unacceptable. For real, right. It's unacceptable because this is your last game.
Right.
And you just got whopped by your biggest rival.
Like we've never seen an undermanned team go up against a better team in this rivalry and win.
Happens
on
all
the road,
the time.
Too, right?
Yeah, happens all the time.
Austin Rivers. That Duke team wasn't good.
Don't even get me started.
No,
but you're 100% right. That we should, like, UNC should have, walking in, the thinking was UNC was going to win that game. And Duke just.
Absolutely.
Just played better.
I don't even know if they played better. They finished.
Finished better.
They finished better. In this game last year, and I want to get to some other things here, but in this game last year, Carolina played better.
Yeah.
That second half was clinical.
Yeah.
And again, I give Brady Manick's defense. By the way, you know Brady Manick has a pizza name for him? Where is Salvio's Pizza? It's either in Chapel Hill or in Cary or somewhere. Yeah, he's got a pizza named after him.
Do you know what's on the pizza?
Yeah, I do, and it's kind of not a pizza I want. It's got, like Alfredo sauce.
Mm. Now, I'm not a big fan of different sauces on the pizza, like on top of the regular pizza. Just give me the regular pizza. Now, the problem is if you're getting a new thing named after you now in 2022, if it's like a new sandwich or something, you're going to probably, I mean, you're kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel. Because there's, pretty much everybody's done everything.
All the sandwiches are made.
All the sandwiches are made now. Like, so now you're about to get some wacky, like, oh, give me some anchovies on top of some prunes. And jalapeno. Like, you go, whatever sandwich gets made, it's probably not going to be a sandwich
that
you want.
What kind of a combination is that? All right. Let me.
Oh, y'all ain't trying to stay regular. I said, all right, whatever.
That's why we have.
Yeah, prunes.
I do blackberries.
Oh, is that good for the?
Oh yeah, the inside? And all that stuff's good for your innards. Good, a dark berry.
A dark berry.
A good dark berry. Blueberries, blackberries. Yeah, good.
See, this is the kind of insight that I like to get off this show.
There you go.
Man. That's why I.
Oh, I got bagel takes too. All right, let's talk about
prunes.
I don't know. I don't eat prunes. I don't eat prunes. Although I love plums.
See,
same thing.
They're cousins.
Family.
Yeah, they're cousins.
They're it's the same.
Oh, it's the exact same.
Oh, the prune is just a an old plum.
Huh.
It's a dehydrated plum.
I did not realize.
Oh, so it's the raisin of plums.
Yeah, exactly. Raisins are grapes. Yeah. Now you're learning stuff. See, I've always been of the mind that you don't learn something new every day. This is like twice this week that people have learned things. All right, let's talk about what we saw. Just your thoughts, being at Howard, being affiliated with Howard University, your thoughts on the Deion Sanders experience at Jackson State.
I think that this is a really good example of kind of I'll call it a Venn diagram of life, where you have people that are really into HBCUs and not necessarily into college sports that much.
Right.
You have people that are really into college sports and don't really know that much about HBCUs. And you're doing it with a person that is a lightning rod like Deion. Deion's been famous for 30 years.
Yeah.
He's been famous my entire life.
It's not more than, I think it's more than
it might be.
Years.
Yeah, it might be even be more than 30 years.
Yeah.
And so you have this lightning rod that everyone identifies and recognizes. And so now everyone feels comfortable speaking on this. I think on the HBCU side, if you're not really heavily into college sports like that, especially college football, the idea of him not only leaving, but then taking with him these players, his son, Hunter, who was a top prospect when he flipped him from Florida State.
Number two recruit in the entire class.
And he went to Jackson State, which was a huge deal and should have been.
Flipped from Florida State to Jackson State.
And so, and now they're going to be going to Colorado.
Yeah, they
and
actually so already announced it today.
Yeah, yeah. And so, like, I can understand you being like, well, what, you know, what's going on? You're using us as a stepping stone to get to this place. And that triggers a whole bunch of HBCU grads, too, because – For a lot of people, they see our degree as somehow lesser than, and it's not lesser than. Our experience is just vastly different. We went there to have a vastly different experience. And so the idea of being used so that you can then go and white flight it over to PWI like Colorado, it makes people, it really brings up a lot of other issues. Uh-huh. It's part of the reason that we were so hyped when Vice President Kamala Harris got that position, because it was like, I told you so. Ours is just as good. That yep. Howard degree right there, yeah, it'll get you to 1600 Pennsylvania. And so it was a moment of like, we always knew, but now everybody else can know, and we don't have to make that fight anymore. And so him leaving, and some of the comments, he had said something about Isaiah Land, who was a defensive end for FAMU, who is going to play on Sundays, but was making the decision whether or not he wanted to enter the portal and leave right. FAMU. He was like, he commented on his Instagram, you shouldn't do that because we've seen people make it from HBCUs to the NFL, and you leaving sends a bad message. So yeah, that's a little hypocritical, right?
A little bit.
Yeah. A little bit. But the idea of him gutting or somehow taking the best of us isn't, it's not the case, because this is college football. You want big time college football, you want to be covered in a certain sort of way. This comes along with it. Every college football coach in the country is trying to get a better job.
Right.
And even if they're not trying to leave their job, they're going to tell their current employer they might go get another job so you can give me more money.
Right.
That is just the facts of the life. You can be mad about it. Don't take that out on Sanders. That has nothing to do with him. Like, that is just the way things
sure.
go. And so it was so much of that. But it was also a lot of pain, because it's different when we leave, like when A&T left the MEAC, when Hampton left
the MEAC.
They're in
the Colonial.
They're
now.
In Colonial now. Their homecoming game was versus Campbell. You know what I mean? Like, that don't hit the same.
Right.
And so, like, there's the idea of being left behind so you can do bigger and better things. That it tied into a whole bunch of that sort of stuff. It's different from even when Jimbo leaves Florida State and goes to Texas A&M. It's different, because we had to carve and scratch and fight and die for this space for HBCUs. Mm-hmm. The education of black people in this country was dangerous in and of itself. Mm-hmm. And if you look at some of the educational discussions we have now around race, it's still dangerous to yeah. some people. And so leaving an institution of higher learning for a space that didn't want us before, it's always going to hit a little bit different. It's always going to hurt some more. And I get it. It's just not fair to place that all on Deion Sanders.
Right.
That would be my only thing. It just wasn't fair to then make him to be out of some person that's somehow trying to, you know, a traitor or some of the other stuff that,
you know. Well, he sold a different story at the beginning.
True.
Because he sold the story he had to sell.
Right.
Right? Because this was the job that he was allowed to get.
Yes.
I mean, he wanted Florida State.
He wanted Florida State, but
badly.
There were two problems. Didn't have a degree.
Right.
So he went to an HBCU that had a fast-track degree to get right. his degree, and then I think a month later he was named the head coach of Jackson State.
Sidney Lowe, by the way, did the same thing.
Absolutely.
Right? To be able to be the head coach at NC State. So he used Jackson State, but he sold it differently at the beginning. And I watched the interview he did with Michael Strahan, product of Texas Southern, right? Another HBCU. And that was all about, you know, doing it for the HBCU. He sold that, and he left. He didn't even leave for a great job. He left for a Power 5 job, which obviously will pay him more money than he made at Jackson State.
And his assistant.
And his assistant.
That he takes with him from Jackson State, which is important too.
And I think you can win at Colorado, and especially you can win at Colorado in the version of the Pac-12 we are going to see. So Colorado is not his last stop. He'll be at Colorado. If he does well, he'll be at Colorado 3 years, and he'll go back to Florida State eventually. I think that's ultimately where he,
because he's already talked about and I mean, coaches say this all the time, that he doesn't want to coach in the NFL. Because he's got, I've made fun of Dabo for some of his takes. Deion Sanders has some pretty close sentiments when it comes to NIL stuff in particular. He doesn't like it. He feels like, hey, you know, I don't want to deal with, you know, his thing is I don't want to deal with entitled NFL players and stuff like. And it's like prime time. What are we doing?
Well, he doesn't want to deal with him.
Right. Exactly.
Which is fine.
He knows that.
But here's the thing that I ultimately think that this is good, and this could be wrong. I don't know. The athletic experience in today's HBCU. The athletic experience is really supposed to be, I think, extracurricular, as opposed to big money, get on TV, all like I think it's supposed to be.
I think that's what it is.
This enhances the college experience, and I don't know. Like, I think ultimately the attention that it raised is good. It's going to show that there is good there are good athletes
right.
at HBCUs. Like, if Lavelle Moton hasn't gained more national attention
yeah.
at NC Central with the success that they've had and the profile that he has, well, it's probably not ever going to happen. But I think it's more about this is the college experience, and this is what athletics can do. Homecomings are about fun and parties
yeah.
and my experience going to covering the CIAA tournaments.
Love going to
right?
CIAA tournaments.
I did too, and I was so sad when it left Raleigh.
Heartbroken.
So I think ultimately it'll be fine that Dion is not there. But again, I'm probably not the expert on this. This is just a guess.
So I'm not going to defame any black coach for getting a Power 5 job because we have so many, so few of those anyway.
Right.
Like, I do think that there is also probably a larger conversation to be had that maybe now some of these institutions are going to look at HBCUs and look at their coaching staffs a little bit different. Like, hey, they're doing a lot of good work over here. There's talent over here. But even just me saying that, I can hear the gatekeepers being like, no, you stay over there. You didn't want us before. You stay over there. And I get that. But you also have to deal with you're dealing with real human beings. They might just have different things that they want to do with their careers and life. And you shouldn't have to sacrifice so much because you want to change some stuff up and you want to do something a little bit differently. I don't think that that's his burden. If he wanted to do that, hey man, God bless him, do it. But if you don't, I'm glad you're here. Now, if I'm being honest, there's some of the stuff that when LeBron left Cleveland, some of this stuff played in too. You also know you're not going to be as good next year without him.
Yes. No, they're not.
You're not.
You lose your starting quarterback and your
wide receiver/cornerback. You're not going to be as good. And if we're being honest, I think some of that plays into it, at least with the Jackson State alum, of, hey, our program was in a place that hadn't been in a while. And, you know.
They were great.
You had college game day there, which is not the end-all, be-all, I understand. But,
that's good, though.
It's pretty damn good. That's a pretty damn good feeling. And Dion was a big part of that.
Yeah.
He was a big part of raising money for them. Like, he was a big part of Charles Barkley and his donation to Jackson State. He was just – you can be mad that it wasn't for longer, but don't take that out on him as he should have been there forever. Because the other thing is, I think he went 27-5 as a head coach.
Yeah.
If he had gone 5-27, you would have fired him.
Oh, yeah.
It can't be bigger than football, and then, if you lose, it's not bigger than football. No, come on now.
They had good players, but – they won a lot. There's a lot of teams out there with good players.
Right.
Hey, I believe Texas A&M had good players.
Bloop. Bloop.
Didn't work out. How do you not be bowl eligible at Texas A&M? All right. We got to halftime.
And now your halftime entertainment.
Went nearly a full 8 minutes of stoppage time.
Well,
there.
We just watched the World Cup.
That's true.
That's no stoppage time.
Exactly.
In the World Cup. That's like, we just got 8 minutes left.
All right, holiday time, obviously. A lot of people like to throw the Yule logs up on the TV, get some music in the background with it.
Right, okay.
Any of you guys a fan of, you know, Chucky, your Child's Play?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not mean, but that's fine.
Well, on YouTube, there's actually a 70-minute video that features Chucky sitting by a warm fire drinking hot chocolate. So
really?
That's for you, Brendan. Yep, that's right. A Yule log, sitting right there, some music. There's Chucky sitting there.
I don't know if there's
a Chucky movie coming out, right?
There's a TV show. Yeah,
so
I was about to say there's
show.
A TV show, and then there's another one that's kind of Chucky-ish, where it's about a woman who's made a doll, an animatronic doll for her daughter who was apparently lonely.
Yeah,
and they turn into a crazy killer, and I cannot wait to see it. It's
gonna
be fantastic.
I'm gonna watch it too.
It's gonna be fantastic. But there's nothing soothing about Chucky's presence at all. It is terrifying. I don't understand that. I don't know. I personally wouldn't want to just be chilling with Chucky, but that's just me. You know what I mean? I'm not a big John Gruden fan. What I'm going to do?
It's out there for the people. That's all that matters. Your favorite movie, Top Gun Maverick, Adam, is now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Is it?
Yes.
Paramount Plus? I can't get it on Amazon?
I mean, no. You probably could rent it through there.
Yeah, okay. I got to do that.
I definitely went to go see that twice in theaters.
Did
likewise.
You?
Absolutely.
It was so good.
We have not seen it yet.
Oh.
I always bring up this movie to Adam and he changed like
No, I'm not a huge fan of – I mean, Top Gun was fine. It was okay. It wasn't awesome, but it was okay.
I mean, I don't know what you're doing right now, but it's fine.
Okay. I'm with you, Brandon.
Right? I don't know what we're doing here, but
I've heard great things about Top Gun Maverick, so I want to go check
it out. It's a better movie. Like, it's like structurally, it's a better movie.
There you go.
Now, there's a lot have you seen Top Gun recently?
Yeah.
Okay. So like, there are some callbacks.
I've seen it several times.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, so there are callbacks which, you know, tug on the heartstrings a little bit more and stuff like that. But like, yeah, I'm gonna have to just disagree with you on the Top Gun. I mean, it's your classic '80s movie. It's,
right.
It's very straightforward, but straightforward is fine.
I thought Cocktail was a better movie than Top Gun. That's my hot take.
Cocktail's a little long, and I could have done without. There was some stuff with him and Coughlin. I could have done without.
Okay, I get it.
It's a good movie though.
I thought it was the same movie, but that's fine.
speaking of new movies, there's a new Alien movie reportedly filming soon.
Excuse you?
Yeah. Because apparently we asked for that.
John Hurt's not in it.
I don't know. Sigourney Weaver.
She has to be in it. Okay.
That new Predator was fired, though.
I haven't seen it yet. Fired. The one that's on Hulu? I got to watch that.
Really? Another good movie. Another good action. Like, good action, but like there's a solid storyline that
Predator.
I enjoyed. Yeah.
I love the original Predator.
Yeah,
I'm surprised that Dennis is not surprised that I saw Predator.
No, I'm not surprised that you've seen Predator.
Why?
Because it came out in 88?
Yeah, but it's exactly the kind of movie I despise.
That's very true.
Okay, so you're not like, so the Schwarzenegger's Stallone.
You know what I liked? Twins.
It was you and Danny DeVito in the theater.
And I liked Kindergarten Cop.
Of course.
Oh, that's a classic.
All right, so wait, did you see Stop or My Mom Will Shoot?
I saw parts of it.
Okay, all right. I
haven't seen that one.
You're not missing anything. You're not missing anything.
Good to know. All right, last thing to bring up here.
What a ridiculous wealth of knowledge that I have on this stupid
Perfect.
Stuff.
There's been a conversation between Brendan and I about rom-coms.
Oh, absolutely.
We could have kept going.
I could honestly knock one out like right now.
Well,
right
I don't know that
we
Dennis
could fill
has
the whole third
been
hour.
On this show without mentioning a superhero.
I had nothing today regarding that.
You're wearing a superhero t-shirt, my guy.
I am wearing a Thor shirt.
I feel like that counts.
It does. All right, so Adam mentioned it at the beginning of the show, but it's official now. NFL Sunday Ticket is going to YouTube TV. And I know it's something that you and I, Adam, have discussed a lot about how people are consuming sports products or whatever it is, because all these different platforms that have emerged in terms of streaming services and so forth, it's like, well, people have to get selective on where they actually put their money into something.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you reach a casual viewer? Well, what's the number one streaming service for live television? YouTube TV.
Mm-hmm. Is it? Wow.
Guess what it basically is now?
It's cable.
Cable.
Yeah. Sure it is.
But it's just a different interface and a
less
different
expensive.
Platform.
This is right now it is.
Keywords right
now.
Yeah,
but it's...
Once you combine it with the streaming stuff, though, like... We already mentioned, Hulu. I got Disney Plus. Obviously, I got League Pass. Like, by the time I add up all that stuff... I mean, I'm not really saving it.
So there is actually, this might actually impact you, Brendan, you being a League Pass person. There's talks as well as that also floating into the YouTube packages as well. So you're looking at NFL Sunday Ticket's going to be going there. There's also just exclusive premium channels or primetime channels that YouTube
does
offer.
If you want 4K, that's more money too.
There's those kinds of things.
Until everything is 4K.
And then there'll be a new
8K.
Just sit tight.
And trust me, they're already filming stuff in 8K. It's already happening. But that's the thing is that...
Of course, most of our televisions don't project it.
Yeah, I was about to say, I don't understand. Yeah, I don't get it. But
they will. They eventually will because you got to get a new one. So it's going to be an add-on bundle package. There's a big question about, what's going to happen to NFL Red Zone because that is an exclusive thing for DirecTV.
Well, there's two Red Zones.
Well, there's two Red
one
Zones.
One is NFL Network and the other is DirecTV.
Yeah.
Oh.
So the DirecTV one's probably going to go away.
No
but
sense.
The NFL Network one, I think, is probably still going to exist.
It's going to stay because Red Zone is part of YouTube.
Yeah.
Or it's a you can
NFL
get
Network
it.
Is.
You can get it on YouTube.
It's already a part of mine. So it's interesting how, again, everything's flowing into this one space once again, just like cable used to be. But I'm also wondering as well as how does that impact the NBA is looking to possibly put their out-of-market games on YouTube TV. Now, my biggest gripe, though, is I probably still can't watch Hornets games here in Raleigh.
Ah, we got the Bally's app. so I can
watch. Oh, you can watch it through that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
I was so mad yesterday.
I haven't watched them yet.
I had just got off the train. I just got off the train, like, right in time for the Clippers Giant. And because they're doing whatever. It was supposed to be on NBA TV. I was like, we don't get that many national until
blacked out in your area.
Man.
I got, like, the first minute.
Yeah, and I can't watch them on League Pass because now I'm here.
Right.
Yeah. Right? And so, like, before I can just watch them at home on League Pass, can't even do that here. So, oddly enough, I miss the most Hornets games when I'm back home. Like, it's absolutely infuriating.
We got the Bally's app.
Yeah. I mean, that's probably – I'm probably going to end up having to do that. But it's useless for me because I
got a lot of tweets about the Bally app.
Right.
On Thursday. Or Tuesday.
It's not a great app. Just not a great app.
As someone who works for Bally, no comment.
I'm glad I can see the game, but it is not a great app.
This is the Adam Gold Show.